been asked to speak about Isaac tonight. Maybe we can turn in your Bibles to the book of Genesis. Hard to know where to start. I think I'm going to start in chapter 17. Just for a verse here. Genesis 17, verse 15. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarah thy wife, thou shalt not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be, and I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. And then Abraham laughed. And verse 18, and Abraham said unto God, O that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. And then go over to chapter 21. Chapter 21. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. Chapter 22, verse 6 says, And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Chapter 24. Chapter 24. Verse 62. I'm just trying to touch a few aspects or times in his life. And Isaac came from the way of the well Lahai Roi, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. For she had said unto the servant, What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, It is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, and took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Chapter 25, this one verse here. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife, because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. Now really, if we wanted to find out about Isaac, this is really the only chapter that is nearly dedicated to him. But I just want to read, I have the whole chapter written down here, but verse 2. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, Go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries. And I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because that Abraham obeyed my voice, and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. And then over to, you see him, his meeting with Abimelech, and then him growing great or waxing great there in 12, and then he starts to dig his wells. Verse 23, And he went up from thence to Beersheba, And verse 24 says, "And the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and will bless thee, and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And he builded an altar there, and called upon the name of the Lord, and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants digged a well." Chapter 27. And at verse 1, "And it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, My son. And he said, Behold, here am I. And he said, Behold, now I am old, I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go into the field, and take me some venison, and make me savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die." But interestingly enough, it was many years later that he would actually die. Chapter 35, please. We've been told from this platform, I think, that this is the cemetery chapter of the Bible. And the last burial, 27, says, "And Jacob came unto Isaac his father, unto Mamre, unto the city of Arba, which is Hebron, where Abraham and Isaac sojourned. And the days of Isaac were 180 years. And Isaac gave up the ghost and died, and was gathered unto his people, being old and full of days. And his sons Esau and Jacob buried him." I could have read a few places in the New Testament, but I just thought I would stick with the Old Testament tonight. We have a lot of things mentioned about Abraham and Jacob. Much less mentioned is Isaac, and yet we'll find out with not any less significance. Really, we have that one chapter that we read in chapter 26, which is dedicated to him. But there are over 30 verses. He's mentioned sandwiched between Abraham and Jacob. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The covenant with Abraham, and the covenant with Isaac, and the covenant with Jacob. Without any less significance to his person, as Scripture goes on, he's only mentioned really just in a few chapters. I have about 4 chapters that we glean from, show him walking with Abraham his father. And then there's about another 4 chapters, a partial chapter, show his walk with the Lord his God, the God of his father Abraham. So really that's the main part of what we read about Isaac. It's just within about 8 chapters. He was born when Abraham was 100. He was 40 when he was married. He was 60 when he had Jacob and Esau. So that's how old he was when his boys were born. He was over 100 when he was deceived. And that means the boys were fairly old too when they were leaving the tents. And he was 180 at his death. Tonight I want to look with you at just a few things. Isaac as a son. And he was as a son, he followed along. You noted there, and especially in 22, they went both of them together. Several times in that chapter you have that beautiful picture of them going together. And that's really however many years. Well, I guess I'll get into it. But as a son, he followed along with his father. As a spouse, we read that in chapters 24 and 25. He was faithful. And we'll see, talk about that. Chapter 26, as a sojourner, he was fruitful. In chapters 25, 27, and a little bit in 35, he is as a senior or as a father, he was full of faith. And that's borne out in Hebrews. We didn't read that, but Hebrews, he's in the hall of faith there, as he's mentioned. "By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come." Although that's a bit of a interesting story, and especially as is typical for Hebrews, you see the positive. Yet we'll look at that. The interesting commendation he gets in Hebrews, considering the deception and the darkness that seemed to be in the tent where Isaac was. As a son, he followed along. If there ever was a person who had shoes to fill, it was Isaac. We talk about people who have He's got big shoes to fill if he's going to follow that person, or if he's going to move in that family or move in that position. How would you like to have your name? I mean, all of us, I guess. Well, maybe not all of us. There's some people that names come later, but before he was even conceived, his name, everyone knew in the family what this baby was going to be and what his name was going to be. His land, where he would spend his days, his purpose in life, all the promises, his wife was chosen for him. All these things were identified and settled. It was like coming into, by the time he knew what was going on, he knew, everyone knew everything about him and all that he was going to be, and he really hardly even had a chance to make any significant decision in his life. How would you like that? Big shoes to fill. To walk into these expectations, well, I could say. He had to fulfill all that God was expecting of him and his family was expecting on him. Tremendous shoes to fill. And yet, though all these things were decided for him, and he was with his father for 75 years, 75 years he lived with Abraham, walking with him. Really, Abraham having the prominent role. He never rebelled. He wasn't the prodigal that we read about in Luke. He followed along. And this comes to really the pinnacle when we see in chapter 22 when they went, both of them together. And Isaac was no, he's called a lad there, but likely, you know, you wonder, could he have, we don't read of any fight or anything like that. We just see this submissive son going to the altar. And obviously it's a tremendous picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. But I just, remarkable to me, this man had everything lined up for him. No real opportunity to walk out in the field and say, what do I want to do? What do I want to be? Who do I want to marry? What's my life going to be like? It was all lined up for him. He was born into these tremendous blessings, and yet with it came a burden of this is what my life is going to be, and yet he never rebelled against what God had for him, like so many others did, what Abraham wanted for him, like others had rebelled against their fathers. Tremendous testimony as I read over that and thought of that. As a son, he was promised to Abraham. He's really produced by the power of God to Abraham, presented as an offering by Abraham, and provided a wife by Abraham. You see this relationship that he had with his father. Very, very close. Maybe that was typical for the culture or the times. Tremendously close relationship for 75 years that he shared, the two of them together. As the one promised to Abraham, he would be the son of promise. And yet he would need to know, he would have to come to the point where he knew this God himself in a personal way. Just because his father was the man of faith who had left Ur of the Chaldees, and because he was the son of promise. And those 75 years is a long time, and even before the 75 years were up, he was going to have to come to a personal relationship with this God. And he would do that. He would be the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. Twice in chapter 26 is where we read of God appearing to him. He was the promised son, and yet he became the son who learned the God of the Father. But he was also produced by the power of God to Abraham. Ishmael was the result of man's logic, or woman's logic, and power, and the power of the flesh. Isaac was the result of God's grace and power. Isaac was a testimony to God's faithfulness to his promise and his power to fulfill those promises. God, what does it say? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Isaac was a walking, living, breathing testimony of what God could do and what God was going to do. The beginning of a race, the first descendant in a huge nation, one child that was brought into this world by the power of God. You know, are they not precious moments when we can look back, precious moments and memories, to look at times when God displayed His grace and power to us in only a way that He could arrange it. There's a couple things that flash through my mind, and I guess I could. One just very small, little, insignificant. Well, I wasn't really small and insignificant at the time. I had truck problems, and everything was going wrong with my original old truck that I had, and I wasn't sure what I was going to do, and I went on for, I guess, a couple weeks of just with this burden of what to do with the truck, and I get a call out of the blue from someone and says, you know, I want to sell my truck, Paul, and I was thinking, yours is looking pretty ratty. I thought you might be interested in a truck. So it was kind of a interesting way to put it, but he had a point. And he also had a very good price. So it was just out of the blue, I get this phone call. But this is far different than that. This is God moving in a family, doing something that only God could do. And at that, He is the heir. He's not only the son. Abraham had several sons. But this was going to be the heir of all things that Abraham has and all that God has promised. You can read in Romans 9 and Galatians 4, Paul specifically mentions and brings out application to the Jews. Are they going to be the son of the bondwoman? Are they going to go with the law? Are they going to go with the flesh? Are they going to go to the promises that God has for them in Christ? There was going to have to be a decision that the New Testament believers, Jewish believers, were going to have to face. And it was grounded, that doctrine was grounded in these illustrations of this story of a man, of a boy, who became heir according to the promises. Isaac was born into blessing and given everything. And you wonder, wow, what would that be like? Just all the wealth, all the position, just born into it, didn't have to do anything. And there he watches Ishmael getting, although he wouldn't have watched it, he was only 8 days old at the time, but other sons would have been pushed away, and even later with Abraham's second wife, watching sons go away. Isaac did nothing to deserve what he had. He was born into this position and given all things. I was reminded of what we read in Romans chapter 8. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. I think about all that Isaac had, just being born into all these blessings, and yet, what have we been born into in Christ through what the Lord Jesus Christ has done, and all the blessings that we have for eternity as we watch others go on in life, never getting it? Why me? Why do I know the grace of God? He was heir of all things that Abraham had, an heir to all the promises and all that God was going to do for Israel and even the nation and bringing in His Son into the world. But not only was He promised and produced, and He was presented as an offering by Abraham together. You know, one thing I realized, Isaac probably knew the value of a substitute. We think of Genesis 22 as that point of faith for Abraham. And yet, a boy big enough to carry wood, and the commentators vary on age, but he would have been able to understand, appreciate the fact that a life was supposed to come into him. And yet, there was another that took his place. There was some level of appreciation for a substitute and for a sacrifice. And I wonder what Isaac realized, even in his own mind, as he would contemplate this day, years later, or even as he was walking away from the mountain, And Abraham's words were, God shall provide himself a lamb. This is just conjecture on my part, but, you know, Abraham saw the Lord's day and was glad. And I wonder what Isaac knew of the coming Savior, of a coming substitute. He certainly would have appreciated the value of a substitute. But Abraham, all these things were linked with Abraham, and then we get to the point where he was provided a wife by Abraham. So when I think of him as a son, I just see him through all these early stages of life until he's 40 years old. Abraham is right there, and together, they're walking together. And I just think of that relationship. As a son, he would display the attributes of his father. But as a son, he is also the type of Christ for us. And if Genesis 22 is a picture of the God not sparing his son, we can just get a picture also of the tremendous relationship that there is between God the Father and God the Son. These two, so close. Abraham loved his son. And obviously Isaac had affection and feeling for him and respect. A close relationship. How much closer? How much more is it when we consider the God who spared not his own son but delivered him up for us all? That's Isaac as the son. As a son, he was submissive and he followed along. They went both of them together. But then chapters 24 and 25 show Isaac as a spouse. I'm just trying to find the page here. It's interesting to me. Obviously, it got to a point where there was a bit of degree of division in the home, in Isaac's home in later years. But he was a faithful husband. And as we were just even reminded tonight in prayer, the value and the basis of society is the marriage. Here we have, I never would have expected to have found or even have felt a look here if I was thinking about truths on marriage, but at least it was interesting to me to note that he waited for God's time. Here was a man 40 years old, and he's waiting. How much did he know about what the plans that Abraham made for his servant? Abraham called his servant. We're not even told that Isaac knew anything about it. I would assume he would have known. But it's interesting. He waited for God's time. And I love the imagery there. Verse 65. For she had said unto his servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? He waited for God's time and he walked in the field to meet her. His attention was going to the camels. What was coming, he was anticipating. We are expect. And he's moving towards the camels. And many of you would obviously appreciate the fact that this is a small picture of Christ in the church, the servant going out among the nations and collecting himself a bride for the son. And here is the son anticipating the camels, anticipating his bride. But before Isaac knew her heart or had her hand, he knew God's mind. Before the relationship, before the feelings, he knew it was the will of God. What does it say here? What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, it is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things he had done. So Isaac got the story from the servant. He found out that it was God's will. It was unmistakable that this was God's will for this relationship. And so before anything progressed, he understood, This was God's will. This is the woman that is going to be my wife. And so she became his wife. And what's interesting is, before there was love, there was marriage. The love came after the wedding, but he loved her alone. We think of a relationship starting with love and affection and feelings and all the stuff that I remember and enjoy. But here in Isaac's case, she gets off the camel. He hears the story. He knows it's the will of God. They're married. And then he loves her. You know, some of the greatest advice that I was given, and I'm not here dispensing my marital advice, I'm just saying it was a tremendous help to me, was I was told, why do you love her, Paul? And I was, he says, because you've chosen to love her, right? Yeah, yeah. And ever since then, I've realized I love her because I've chosen to love her. And obviously, there's a whole other aspect of it that I love her for many, many reasons. But the choice of love, preceded everything else. The decision to love is just like what God has done. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. This marriage would work because Isaac chose to love her. And it's interesting, among all the patriarchs, among many, many people in Genesis, one woman. He was a one-woman man. No other woman. He loved her. And he interceded for her, we see. That's why I read that in verse 21. Isaac entreated for the Lord in chapter 25. Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. So these are the attributes of this man as a husband, as a spouse, waiting for God's time, anticipating her arrival, reaching out, wanting to get to know her, choosing to love her. He loved her after the wedding, but loved her alone, no one else. And he interceded for her. That is truly the character of the Father. Don't you see that there? As the Father was, so is the Son. We remember Abraham interceding really for the righteous that might be in a wicked city. Here is a Son who takes the character of the Father. And I bring that up because as the child of the promise, he was as his father and his mother. He was as the character of the Father. And as children of the promise, we take character not from the flesh, but we should take character from the Spirit. As the Son, as the Father is, so should the Son be. And we see that here in different places, actually. We see the character of the Father coming through the personality of this son, Isaac. But that was Isaac as a spouse, waiting, walking, choosing, interceding. These are acts in an atmosphere that would be good for us all as husbands to follow. And yet, obviously not just for husbands, but wives and anyone considering a relationship. Sometimes the way the fellas talk about their cars, I guess it wouldn't be bad to know the will of God before you buy that car. But anyhow. Chapter 26. As a sojourner, he was fruitful. You know in Psalms 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. I look at Psalms 1 differently now, thinking of Isaac. Here in this is his main chapter that we find out about what he was like. His father's out of the picture. You see a little bit of what he's doing there with Abimelech. And is sowing and reaping 100-fold and digging the wells. And he was a busy man and he liked to keep going. He wasn't walking with his father anymore, but he was walking as his father. He stayed in the land. He stayed separate from the people. And he stayed fruitful. Very, very similar to Abraham. Although Abraham left the land, we understand and from what we read, Isaac never left the land. I think we were told that here before. Stayed in the land. Maintain the promises. He wasn't one that was initially given the promises or called to come into the land. And he wasn't like Jacob who would leave the land and bring back many, many, many people. Not necessarily him, but the children of Israel would come back and go into the land at a later date. He was just there, living in the land, maintaining the land. And I wonder, if I'm not a trailblazer, perhaps like Abraham was, maybe I'm here to maintain the trail. And when I think of what Isaac was, he lived in the land, digging up the wells that his father dug, following really in the footsteps of his father, as long as it was according to the will of God. through hardship, the famine, through hard work, the digging wells. He wasn't a tourist. So there's a difference between being a sojourner and being a tourist. Sojourner, there is work, there is responsibility, there is an appreciation of responsibility and burden. There is a separation from the people of the land, and there's a desire to bring forth fruit. Tourists kick back, and we all have a different image of what a tourist is. There was no compromise either in his sojourn. He was separate. There was walls that were maintained in his tent and with his family and that of his field. The world was out. There was no compromise, but he lived peaceably. We are reminded in 1 Timothy 2, live quiet, peaceable lives in all godliness and honesty. That's interesting to me, except we read in that opening chapter how he lied, just blatantly lied to Abimelech. Apparently Abraham was a half-sister, so he only told half a lie, but Isaac told a complete lie. And yet he lived peaceably, and in the end there was a bit of a covenant that was made between Abimelech and Isaac. So there was distance, there was separation, but there was still work and fruit in the land as a sojourner. He was fruitful, though he lived a pilgrim life. He was maintaining the land, maintaining the promises, maintaining really the ways of his father, and holding on to the promises that had been given to him by God himself. That's Isaac as a sojourner. He was fruitful. But then as a father, I wonder about when he lies to Abimelech, because it's so interesting to me, because the Lord had just visited him and said, I will do this, I am going to perform this, I will swear unto thee. He had all these promises from God, and then the first thing he does is he goes down and he lies. It's like he knew the promises of God, but he wasn't moving in 100% assurance of them, that God really was going to preserve him. He thought he needed to lie. But then when we come to 27, it's something similar. Here he is. Did he hear what God told Rebekah back in chapter 25, that the elder will serve the younger or the lesser? Did he know he was going against what God had said and who God had chosen? He really was a separate sojourner, and yet he loved the field. He loved the son of the field. He loved the meat of the field. And he was determined to bless Esau. In the end, he didn't really bless either of his sons the way he had originally intended to. He wanted these blessings for Esau, and he wanted certain blessings for Isaac, for Jacob, and it got switched. But Hebrews tells us, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. So what does that tell me? It tells me that having faith is not necessarily a green light to do a certain thing, or to move in a certain way, or do a certain action. It's possible to have faith in God, but to move apart from His Word. And I had to think about that. That's interesting. You remember Joseph, who was a righteous man, and he was a compassionate man. He thought he was going to put away Mary privately. But the Lord had to intervene and tell him, no, this is what you need to take her as. He was going to do something that was not what God wanted him to do. Here we have Isaac, who is moving in a way that is going to be contrary to what God wants. And yet it's Mr. Grant who reminded us that by the deception and by the blindness, particularly by the deception of the mother Rebecca and Jacob, were robbed of knowing how God was going to work this out. We don't know what God would have done to make it so that Jacob received the blessing and Esau didn't. It's deception that we see, and we're left with the story as it is. We don't know how God would have done it in His good way. But it is possible to have faith in God, but to be moving contrary to His Word. But God's promises will never fail or take us outside of His will. We read early on when, verse 21, the Lord visited Sarah as He said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as He had spoken. God is faithful, and He's faithful to His word. Going according to His word will be going according to His will. His faith in God's promises was what enabled him and inspired him, really inspired the content of his blessing. And I wonder if that's why, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. His heart was misdirected, but his blessings were full of faith. He was trusting a God. He wanted the blessings to go to Esau because of his love for Esau and his love for the field and his love for venison. But the heart of the blessings and the message of the blessings was God was going to take his boy and nations would bow to him. That was faith. And really, I think that would sum up. That is really the sum of this second patriarch as I close. He was faithful. Faithful as a son. He went along together. Faithful as a spouse. Faithful as a sojourner. Faithful as a father. And though he's not mentioned very often, I think his greatest significance to us is that he is a type of Christ, being the son of the Father who was offered. No other real story like that. The first mention of worship and of love. Here is the zenith, as it were, the mountaintop picture of God giving his son. That is Isaac. But he's also a testimony to the grace, the faithfulness, and blessing of God. And he is the same God today. He is the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. He's the same. Isaac learned this God, learned to appreciate him. He died full of days and was gathered to his people. We have the same God. We can look to this God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. We trust that He is our God. And we trust that we appreciate all that He has brought us into in Christ and all the blessings that He has for us now and for a coming day. Let's pray.